What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On with Mario Lopez.
What's up, y'all? I'm Mario Lopez. Joining me now in studio from the YouTube premium show Cobra Kai, actor Martin Cove. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
Pleasure to meet you. Been a big fan for a long time. I was very excited about this series when I heard it was coming out, because to me, Karate Kid is my era's Rocky, right? It's just a classic that's timeless. I'm excited to show it to my nephews and my kid when he gets a little bit older and he's able to sit through a whole movie and the whole thing. And you're a big reason for that success. And the show itself has been getting a lot of love. What'd you first think when they were thinking about this premise and bringing back the characters?
Well, you know, Ralph and Billy, they were persuaded to do it. And, you know, we've been all hit with variations of Karate Kid, you know, an sure. action picture there is always going to be like Karate Kid. It's like doing, you know, someone gives you a script and they're going to make a buddy movie. You know, it's going to be like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance
right.
Kid.
Of course
it's never like Butch Cassidy. So, like, I didn't really know what to expect. And then once they were signed on, and then the writers had a conversation with me at a restaurant in L.A., and they said, we want to bring you on in episode 10, first season, and you'll set up and be a regular in season two. And I said, well, why can't I come in episode 5 or 6? What are,
you know, why what's do going I on to, with that?
I mean, you know, he says, no, you're going to set up. And these guys were smart. I mean, we're talking about three, you know, John Hurwitz and Josh Heald and Hayden Schlossberg. They know Karate Kid like I know the Wild Bunch. And, that, you know, I love the Wild Bunch. It's my Western Bible.
That's an excellent film.
They know so much. It was their Star Wars. And they convinced us. And convinced me, and I had to hold my tongue for 9 months until, because everybody would say, are you in the series? We know you're in the series. And I would make up lies like, I'm in jail. John Kreese is working for the KGB.
Right.
You know, he's working for the CIA, you know. And nobody believed me in all these conventions and press or whatever, but I couldn't say I was on the show. Finally, after May 2nd,
You were able to tell the world.
I was able to tell the world, and I was proud because it was good stuff.
It was good, and so many of these reboots don't work, but this one was met with a lot of critical acclaim. The diehard fans were very supportive, and you look great.
Thank you. You
look great.
Thank you.
You clearly have been keeping in the gym, and when we come back 30 years later now, where is John Kreese?
John Kreese has been missing for 30 years, and he hasn't been proud of where he's been. Can't tell you too much, you know, but what's
happening? Are you still a sensei?
I'm still a sensei, yeah, he's still a sensei. And he comes back, and with the intention, because Cobra Kai, as we've learned in episode 10, season 1, has been successful. Johnny's brought back Cobra Kai. And as far as we're concerned, John Kreese has a whole another plan. And as he says in the episode, he says, the story has just begun.
Ooh.
You know,
dun, dun,
so
dun.
It's not all evil. And I don't think of this character as evil.
Right.
I really don't. You know, he's pure. He is what he is because of what went on in Vietnam.
Right.
Our soldiers were never allowed to win there. He was never allowed to win as a champion previously. And the no mercy concept has come from basically when some, you know, a child would walk up to the platoon and ask for chocolate or food or whatever, and he was lined with dynamite.
Right.
And the moment the platoon got close, boom, he pressed the button and everybody would go. He doesn't want to ever see that again. And he lost a lot of loved ones in Vietnam.
He's misunderstood.
He is misunderstood.
Yeah.
I mean, he
like
is.
A lot of our villains are.
Yeah.
You know, but you played in, he was an iconic character. And what's the secret to playing a good bad guy? Because they're the most fun.
They're the most fun, I think, even though I like playing heroes. And, you know, I remember doing Steel Justice and loved it and took off Cagney and Lacey to do that.
Yeah.
But I think the most impressive actor I remember playing a bad guy was Klaus Maria Brandauer in one of the Bond movies. He's a German actor. Brilliant, smooth as silk. He's sort of like Stefan Waltz in Inglourious Basterds.
Okay.
That kind of, you know, that yeah. kind of bad guy. Where you always believe everything he says. And if you went to dinner with him, he'd probably buy you the finest steak imaginable. And then as you're having dessert, he'll cut your throat.
Right. But it's the Bond way.
It's the Bond way, you know. But I think the more friendly, the more charming of a bad guy you are, the more interesting it is because you have an unpredictable level that is not obvious and visible until the proper time.
Right. You get a lot of layers. You start to maybe sympathize with him. I'm with you on that. Are you familiar, Martin, with the theory on the internet that says Danny Russo is really the bully of the Karate Kid?
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, you have to remember that Johnny Lawrence has always been the Karate Kid for me. Ralph misused something called, I can't even say it. It makes me, the crane kick.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's really an illegal kick.
Yeah.
It's a Hollywood kick.
Right.
You know, it's
total Hollywood kick. Can I tell you what really bothered me? Because I grew up wrestling with martial arts. How did he get so good with no sparring? He didn't spar. Shows up at the tournament for the first time. It starts cleaning house with all your guys who are obviously sparring up a storm.
Yeah.
And competitive with each other.
That's the Hollywood. That's the magic of Miyagi.
Right.
The magic.
That's right. It was
of
magic.
Hollywood.
That's exactly what it was. Magic.
I mean, that clap. You know, when I first saw that clap, I was writing a Western. And I wanted to merge a Western. I love merging genres. So I was trying to get the Western back on its feet. And I was using the best and using vampires at the time. But I wasn't making it hokey. I was trying to merge the horror genre with Westerns. And I remember watching this, and it was just the period of time when I was writing this thing, and I remember watching the hand clap, and I said to myself, we've never gone into that genre in this movie. It's never become a magical, mystical
right.
movie, this thing called Karate Kid. And I said, are we going to, it's the first time I see the movie. I said, are we going to take it there? Is that how Daniel's going to win? And then all we hear is that reverberated soundtrack in the back. And then, you know, the drum and then the clap. And the only thing that took it to the world of magic and Merlin was that goddamn kick.
Right. That was. It did.
You know?
It did. Not to deviate too much, but what was your favorite Western again? Was it
The Wild Bunch?
The Wild Bunch. For me, I'm going Outlaw Josie Wales. But I love Unforgiven too.
Sure.
It's one of my favorites.
What about
all
Good,
time.
The Bad, and the Ugly?
Oh, those are great. I love Clint's my favorite, even over John. And he's my favorite cowboy.
He is great.
Of
Red River is terrific too.
Yes. John.
I mean, everybody raves about The Searchers, but for me, Red River, Montgomery Clift, cast, you know.
Classic.
I mean, he never even rode a horse. He never did a Western. He was cast from a Broadway play, you know, and then 6 months later, he's playing with the Duke. You know?
Did you see Hostels with Christian Bale?
Of course.
It's great, wasn't it?
I thought
that movie should have got a lot more love.
It got a very pure distribution deal.
It did.
Very bad.
But it's excellent, I thought.
Excellent. I actually think that Christian Bale was the it was the best Western performance. It was so underplayed.
Yes, I agree.
And I'm doing now a film with Stephen Lang.
Okay.
Who has played the general who sends, if you remember the beginning of the movie, a general sends him out
yes.
to take care of Wes Studi right. and his family. And that fellow, he's in Avatar and, you know, a million things.
Oh, that's great.
And so Stephen and I and William Sadler were doing a movie called VFW. It's okay. all like Expendables in a bar. It's a siege movie. It's really fun.
Fun.
A lot of fun. And anyway, I told him, I said to Stephen, it just didn't get the deal it should have gotten.
Yeah.
Because it was a terrific movie.
That was my favorite movie that year. Remember I yep. said? That was my favorite movie that year.
His performance is
he was fantastic. Brilliant. Everyone was really good in that.
Brilliant.
What about this movie with Danny Trejo, Bare Knuckle Brawler? That also sounds like my kind of flick.
Bare Knuckle Brawler is exactly what it is. It's a Bare Knuckle Brawler.
Do you know that's back, by the way? There's like a Bare Knuckle League that actually exists right now. Are you familiar with that?
No, I didn't know that.
It is. I can't believe it got sanctioned, but it's only allowed in a couple states, but it's actually around.
Do you remember the
so
movie
it's appropriate.
Hard Time?
Love Hard Times, yeah. Do you remember Digstown?
Yeah, of course.
Come on.
All right, let's just go to the movies.
Martin, man, we got the same taste right
here. Let's go to
the
movies now.
I'm telling you, I grew up and I love all this.
I mean, you know, and that's all. This movie I'm doing now is all about camaraderie. It's all about five guys from Vietnam who were function in a VFW.
Yeah.
And all we do, Fred Williamson's in it and William Sadler, all we do is sit around and talk Westerns. All we do is talk. We've created this 50,
fit right in.
This 50-year camaraderie.
Yeah.
And all we do is talk Westerns
oh,
off
cool.
camera. So then when we're on camera,
just
we're
continue
old
it.
Friends.
Yeah.
We just, and they literally used, he comes out of the bathroom and a lot of people are dead and all this. And so Stephen Lang says, his line is, let's go, right out of the Wild Bunch. And then Bill Sadler goes, why not? And it's exactly what Warren Oates did. And what, you know, at the very end of the movie, when they go off to just die.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, we pay homage to as many Westerns as we can
That's
make
cool.
in this picture.
It's very cool. You know? Got to meet one of your sons. And how many kids you got?
I have twins. I have a boy and a girl, Rachel and Jesse. And Jesse's in Bare Knuckle Brawler. Jesse plays my son.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, and I
did he have
movie.
To audition?
Did I have to audition? No,
did he have to audition for
no,
it?
No, I don't think he had to audition. No, he didn't have to audition.
He's been playing that part his whole life.
He has. Uh-huh. He has. And I might have had to audition to play the father, though.
Right.
And I don't know it's one of those. You know how many movies you do? I'm not an arrogant person any longer, but I used to be. And you always think that you can, if the script is fair,
yeah.
You always think you can make it better by your performance if you like the role.
Right.
I don't do that anymore.
You don't do that?
Because I made enough.
That's confidence.
I mean, it's confidence, but if the movie is not on the page.
Right.
It's not there.
It's not there. That's good advice. That's good advice. You know? I got to imagine you didn't step out of line too much with dad, right? Or was he a strict dad or was it all veneer?
No, I mean, I'm in the film business. He never wanted me to get into the film business, but, you know, we then just started creating together and it's been such a blast growing up on movie sets. I'd like to play John Creese. That would be the best.
Ooh, look at that. You need to
Prequel.
Write that.
That would
you need
be
to
great.
Write that
John
right there.
Creese, yeah, I would love him to do that.
Yeah, that'd be a good one right there. Okay, I'd watch that.
Jesse used to set up soldiers like I did as a little kid, and he used to set up a camera over their shoulder. So now, when I did it, we just set the soldiers up and you go to sleep. And I grew up in Brooklyn and all that, and I was the only child, so I had all the toys.
You were an only child.
And I was the only child. And then Jesse takes it a step further, and he used to take my little Sony camera and videotape over the shoulder and create little press junkets, press conferences of the generals in the warfare by flicking lights, little lights and flashlights, flick it and videotape it. So it looked like a press conference. I mean, you take it a step further, you know?
Very creative. Okay. You know? How often do you hear someone say sweep the leg or no mercy?
You know, it's a lot. A lot. You know,
they think they're so clever, right?
They just want to be
and
your
so
friend.
Original, right? Of course, they mean it with respect, I'm sure, but they just think that, and then they crack themselves up,
yeah.
Like you've never heard it before.
They do. They right? do. They usually laugh. I would.
Sweep the chair. Sweep the room. That's funny. Right.
So we did something for the internet. And it was it was just terrific. I'm walking out of the house and Jesse says, Daddy, I have an American flag that had blown over the fence and I was picking it up and putting it on the fence. And I was, then we were walking out, and he says, "Daddy, give me a promo for the show." So I just improvised and said, we said, these writers, I went to that scene where I look at Pat Morita and I go, "I like that. I like that. You're a pushy little bastard." So I went, I said, so I said on this thing, he rolls the camera and I said, "I like these writers. They're pushy little bastards, but good. I like that. I like that." And then there's a pause and I say, "So tune in." Long pause. "Or die."
I'd be watching.
So it goes right in with Sweep Delay because people love, they just love to hate or hate to love this character.
No, it's great. Know?
And he's,
as a matter of fact,
he's not evil.
I'm thinking of being one of your students for Halloween this year in the Cobra Kai outfit, right? How dope would that be? And I got to convince my wife, since she likes to partner up with me, you just be a female.
Yeah, she'd just be another
female student. It's progressive. Yeah. Before I let you go, sir, can I put you on the spot? Quick questions, quick answers, okay?
Yes.
Go-to karaoke song.
Old Man River.
Last movie you saw in theaters.
The Avengers.
Celebrity crush growing up.
Natalie Wood.
That was a quick one. All-time favorite set you worked on?
Wyatt Earp.
What movie or show should get rebooted next?
Hard Time on Planet Earth.
Ah, okay, because it was a crime that they tried to redo the original Karate Kid, I think, but that's just me.
You mean years ago?
Yes, years ago.
Yeah, they shouldn't have done that.
They shouldn't have done that. That was a mistake. Can't remake The Godfather. Come on.
It's all... This show is popular with 20 million views on the trailer.
Yeah.
And then there's 60 million views on the first episode. And or it might be vice versa. But bottom line is, it's the writing. And these cats
write. Yeah, it all comes down to that.
I mean, it really comes down to everybody's got an arc.
Sure.
There are no good hats, white hats and black hats.
Right.
They're all gray. And just what made Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3, but primarily 1, was Robert Kamen, who wrote, I mean, just think about it. We're saying half a dozen lines of a movie that was made 35 years ago. We'll remember the force be with you. We'll remember I'll make you an offer you can't refuse. We remember a pilgrim from John Wayne movies. Or you remember Play It Again, Sam. But we have at least 6 or 7 wax on, wax off, sweep your leg, mercy is for the weak. All of this stuff.
Right.
I think that's what constitutes a good movie that's memorable.
Makes it timeless.
Timeless.
Exactly right.
Makes it a classic.
Well, if you haven't seen it, you can watch it, of course, on YouTube Premium. Watch season 2, Cobra Kai, YouTube Premium. Follow him on Instagram, @MartinCove. Thanks for stopping by, sir.
My pleasure.
I'll see you in a hotel.
All right.
On with Mario Lopez.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.